Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That is, I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM Radio listening audience, I greet you with a greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir examine the valued, beautiful keys to Islamic courtship and marriage life. Being a learning lab, we learn together, sharing lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and a memorable wedding day and a fulfilling, harmonious married life full of faith, trust, affection, peace, and joy. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask that you please share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, send a text, make a post, and invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my esteemed honor and pleasure to present my co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to our very distinguished, esteemed IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shahid, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That is going on 8 years come this October, beginning on the sister station AM 360 and continues here on IWDM Radio. And Quran Shakir and myself, we want to welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and especially those who are tuning in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. So we invite you to ask questions and make comments to tonight's topic in all. And we want to let you know right off that we have honored special guest facilitators tonight that I'll be introducing in a little bit. And we're also aware that many are listening in by way of the Internet. And we'd like to invite you to be a part of this learning lab. And for you to do that, you need to bring just simply a pencil or ink pen and a notebook and an open mind and open heart. And for you to be a part of this learning lab and ask questions or make comments, you do have to dial into the studio. Once again, as Quran Shakir just gave you that number, it is 714 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. We want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab has a foundation, and it has three sources that we use for disseminating information and education in regards to courtship and marriage. The first source is Al Quran. It is the final revelation to all of humanity. And the second source is a life example of the demonstration of the Quran by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. And the third source that we use is the tafsir of our scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. Those are the three sources that we use as a foundation for disseminating and also giving the information and education in regards to this learning lab. So, you know, it's been traditional here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to always have an overview from the previous production here on IWDM Radio. And for that, we go to one of the best to do it, my good sister and friend, my partner, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum to you, Quran Shakir. It's always good to hear your voice here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Wa alaikum as-salam, and likewise, alhamdulillah. So happy that we can share this platform together. So to our listening audience, alhamdulillah, last week we began this important subject that we wanted to embark on, and that is just giving the definition of true love and then giving a recipe, actually, for true love. And the way that we did it was, alhamdulillah, we're going to continue that tradition. But the way that we did it was we had a wonderful couple join us. And that couple was Brother Kwame Shakur and his wife, Rafia Jones, from Washington, D.C. That couple, we gave them the term of soulmates, teammates, and workmates. They've been married for 10 years. And they shared their story with us of how Rafia was a community worker and a single mother. And Brother Kwame came in to give his donation, and she noticed him, and she gave him the greeting. And he noticed that she gave the greeting with great energy that really caught his attention. And he said that she gave it with such enthusiasm and sincerity that that was his first impression of her. And then later he saw her again, and she gave it again in that same enthusiastic manner. And he thought, wow, what an alive sister she is, and lively and full of joy. And then she had this inquiry because she became a Muslim not through the door of the Nation of Islam. So she wanted to know more about the Nation of Islam, and he had that experience, and they began talking and sharing those experiences and eventually got married. And once they got married, he thought that the marriage should be celebrated, and he went to their imam, our brother in Washington, D.C., Imam Talib, and said, I really think we need to celebrate marriage a little bit more than what we're doing. And the imam agreed with him and gave him the go-ahead to do just that. So Brother Kwame and his wife, Sister Rafia, they began an organization and a process for sharing and celebrating love in their community in the D.C. area. And that they began to be workers then. And so for 10 years they've been doing that, because they did that within the first year of their marriage. So for 10 years they have been celebrating marriage at their masjid and in their community with workshops and opportunities to really explore how do we build on our marriage relationship. So they do married couples, and those who are not married, they come to those and enjoy it. So when we looked at then this idea of true love, I give that foundation because true love was developed and built with them in their relationship. And we talked about the fact that the Quran mentions two kinds of love. One is rahmah, and the second is hub. And Allah has rahmah on everything and everyone. And he says, my rahmah has encompassed everything. And he said that in Surah 7, Ayat 157. And then the Quranic language that we're using, we see rahmah often, this word hub that Allah uses, hub is the Arabic word for seed. So we talked about how love can be a seed that grows and is developed, and that's what this couple showed us, how they grew their love. And Allah talks in the Quran about like the corn. It can grow and develop and from one stalk into many until the seeds grow and you have hundreds of kernels on a corn. So the seed that love is about producing something. And the seed, we talked about how it goes down and then it goes upward. So it has to have some roots to be able to withstand the harsh winds that may come against it. And the seed has potential, and it does not have life until it is planted and nourished and gets sunlight and all that it needs to produce the produce that it does. And that we liken as a metaphor to love itself. We also talked about the fact that in the Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 200, Allah says that we have the responsibility to strengthen one another. And with that, inside of this marriage relationship, that is what we do. So true love, as we were given this definition, true love then is not some infatuation that the world has given us as a definition, but it's actually some work that goes into it. And that was one of the things that our couple mentioned, is that love is about work. It's an action word. It is not just a noun and something that you acquire. It is an action word. And sometimes if we don't have the correct definition of love, we can sabotage the relationship. So we need to make sure we're getting that good definition of love and then pouring into our relationships good love. So there needs to be love of Allah, love of God, love of self, and the love that grows inside of you so that you can extend it and help it to grow with someone else. One of the quotes that we use from Imam W.D. Muhammad is that wisdom is the application of knowledge with mercy. And so that rahmah is mercy that we talked about. So again, this love has this component of mercy and compassion within it. And there is so much more that we can say, but let me tell you what I want you to do, dear Islink audience. Go back to the archives. Look for the date of last week, May 18th, and the topic, true love, and you can hear the whole show for your own self. Take your notes so that you can go forward with your own understanding and definition, because this that I just shared was just a tad bit of what we talked about last week. Mark, back to you.
I want to say alhamdulillah. For those who don't know, alhamdulillah simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Almighty God. And I want to thank Quran Shakir, as always, doing an outstanding job and give us an overview. She really captured many of the highlights, and we do invite you to go back into the archives so that you can retrieve, I think, this outstanding production in its entirety. As we gave the introduction on what true love really is, I'm so elated tonight as we have another very senior dynamic couple that was honored most recently here in the STL, that's the Gateway City of St. Louis, in March of this year, in the Islamic Marriage Appreciation Conference that was scheduled to acknowledge them and others back in the year 2020, but we know that it was preempted by the COVID, and so we rescheduled it for this year. And we invited one of our outstanding couples in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. In 53 years of marriage, the Honorable Imam Judge David and Brenda Shahid joined us for that presentation that was made here in the Gateway City. And also they were part of a very distinguished panel and entertained questions in regards to the sacred institution of marriage and did an outstanding job. And I thought it was only befitting, you know, Quran, to our radio listening audience, that we would invite them to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and maybe get a little idea in terms of actually how they met, their narrative, And so with no further ado, it gives me great honor to welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab Honorable Judge David and Brenda Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum to you, Judge, and Sister Brenda.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. It's always an honor to have you on. Of course, I've had Judge David, Sister Brenda on several times over the years, and join me at the formerly the CWSC Roundtable, the sister station that I used to host, AM 360 Radio. But this is the first time, having him and you, and such a great honor to have the both of you here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We're trying to really promote the sacred institution of marriage. And so who better to get than somebody that have actually lived this for 53 years and all. And I know it's a lot of people that are listening in tonight, and they want to hear from you. And of course, Karan and I, we always like to give our guests an opportunity to really kind of introduce themselves and all. How did you meet and all? And, let's get that done first. And here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Judge is always, we stand for the judge. But here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it's always sisters and ladies first. So my dear sister Brenda Shaheed, once again, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So please, if you would, just give us a little background here. How did you and the judge meet? Who took the initiative first? Brenda, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum again.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you so much for having us. We, like you said, we've been married for 53 years, and we were just kids when we married, obviously. It's very interesting because we've been Muslim 50 years, at least a little over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we met, we were not Muslim.
So
that takes us back, many years. But we have grown into Islam together.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank Allah for that. But the story of our meeting was just, I was working in a department store as a kid, and my husband, who was not my husband then, but this young, handsome man came through the store, and he caught my eye. He caught my eye, and I didn't know at the time that he was a basketball player, because I was not into sports.
Mm-hmm.
He was a star at the University of Evansville, Indiana, is my
mm-hmm.
home. And so when I saw him, all I knew was he was someone I had never seen before, and he was handsome, and I wanted to know him. We met each other on various occasions and then developed a relationship. That was the beginning of when we married in 1970. Was beginning of our marriage, and then early 70, maybe 72, 73, is when we actually came into the Nation of Islam. David first coming into the Nation, and then a year later, then I accepted Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone through the first experience and been blessed in 1975 to join the Muslims of all over the world as directed by Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent, Sister Brenda, in terms of introduction here. So let's get the judge in on this conversation. So, Judge, your wife kind of set the table there. I know it's a little bit more that you might want to say in terms of actually meeting her for the first time. So please, if you would, please, and once again, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Mark. And I also want to give salams to my sister, Shakir, for her leadership in working with you on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This is a very valuable work that you're doing for the community, and I hope all of the listeners appreciate your contribution to Muslim family life. Our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, was just such a beautiful person for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so indebted to him for the family life that we've been able to share these 53 years. And he emphasized the importance of us establishing Muslim community life.
Mm-hmm.
And the foundation of community life for Muslims is marriage, because you can't build a healthy community if you don't have healthy marriages. And
yes.
So we are so grateful to you and Sister Shakir for doing this. To answer your question, and I can say this clearly, you know, because we have an audience that appreciate the role of Allah in our lives. And I believe firmly that Allah sent me to Evansville to find my wife, Brenda. I went to the University of Evansville on a basketball scholarship,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we're people of the Midwest, and so you're familiar with SIU, Southern Illinois University.
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah, and so that was my first choice. I visited U of E, and I also visited Southern Indiana University, Southern
mm-hmm.
Illinois. And Southern Illinois had a lot of people from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, there were brothers and sisters everywhere. So I visited that campus. I fell in love with that campus.
Mm-hmm.
U of E was not nearly as exciting because it was a small college, a small Methodist college in Southern Indiana. But
mm-hmm.
I say that we can always look for the signs of Allah. And the first night that I was in Evansville after I started school in September of 65, a friend of mine on the basketball team wanted me to meet his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And the young woman he wanted me to meet, her house was right next door to my wife Brenda's house. So
wow.
And so it gets even better. And then I had a fraternity brother the first year that I was there, and he wanted to have a date for this fraternity formal dance that we had. And
mm-hmm.
who did he want to have as his date? My wife, Sister Brenda. So I sat in the car when he went up to her house and tried to get her for a date, which she declined. And so I'm just saying that Allah had just already planned for me to marry this lady. And,
wow.
And so those are just a couple of signs and that happened at least a year before we actually met face-to-face.
Yes. Well, you know, and this is a good opening, you know, comment from you, Judge Shahid, and, you know, as I listen so very attentively, Quran and myself and the radio listening audience, this actually becomes a confirmation that what it is that we've heard over the years, that as the Imam has tweaked this for us, you know, said the man plans and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planner, but Imam Muhammad tweaked it. He says, you know, man planned, but Allah has already planned. So Allah is not in competition with whatever the plan that we may have as human beings. This is why Allah says in the Quran, never say what you will do tomorrow without saying, inshallah, if it's in accordance with God's plan. But Allah is independent of everything, and includes time and space. So the plan was, you are absolutely right, Judge, because it happened. And so we say, mashallah, that it happened. Allah had already planned how this was going to occur. So we want to hear more, from both of you in regards to how you actually met. So, Judge, I'm going to stay here with you, and then I'm going to go back to Brenda again. So your wife was very graphic in terms of when she saw this young, handsome man coming in and everything, and we talked about this in the marriage conference that we had here in St. Louis in terms of chemistry, and oftentimes that is an attraction that happened. Can you talk to us about when you first saw her? Was there any attraction there, Judge? What did you think at that point?
When I met her, I had already been living in Evansville for a year. And Evansville is really kind of a small town compared to St. Louis and some of the other big cities.
Yes.
And so it has a small African-American community. And because I was an athlete, and because it was a small college, and I mean a college in a small southern Indiana town, there were a lot of people that knew me because, of my being, a basketball player for the college. And so when I first saw her at the store, department store where she was working, I was kind of surprised because I hadn't seen her before. And, so that was the first thing. But I'll say this, again, sticking with how Allah guides us. We in Al-Fatiha, we say, "Oh Allah, guide me on the straight path."
Yes.
We're in every prayer, we say in every rak'ah, we say, "Oh Allah, guide me." And so
yes.
I wasn't Muslim at the time, but I really believed that Allah, God was guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
And so to kind of fast forward, I met her a couple of times, I saw her, and so eventually she invited me to come to her house.
Mm-hmm.
And what really stuck in my mind was when I saw her holding her niece. And her niece was, really less than a year old. But I saw the love and affection that she was giving to her niece, and I said, in my mind, she
mm-hmm.
would make a wonderful mother.
Mm-hmm.
She would make a wonderful mother.
Wow.
So again, I'm saying that, Allah put it on my heart,
mm-hmm.
even as a young man who really hadn't accepted Islamic life, but I had grown up in a Christian household. Both my parents were church-going people. We went to church every Sunday. Bethel AME in Indianapolis is where I had my religious training. And so I think most of the audience are familiar with AME is African Methodist Episcopal Church, which is started
mm-hmm.
by Richard Allen. So my father, he wasn't, we were connected to the church, but also AME.
Yes.
But I'm saying,
That's excellent, Judge, and you don't know this, and Brenda don't know this. I was supposed to have a little bell every time one of the words in the True Love Recipe was said. I was supposed to be ringing the bell, but unfortunately I didn't get the bell, so inshallah, God willing, next week it will. But you said two of the three words in AAA that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. One was appreciation, and the other in terms of affection. So very, very important that you observe this in your wife, how affectionate she was, and you saying to yourself, she would make a great mother. And this is something very, very important. I'm going to go back to your wife, Brenda Shahid. Okay, so Brenda, I want you, if you would, talk about you had an interest and everything. You wanted to get to know more about who this tall, handsome a fellow was that you that came into your life and everything. So in terms of courtship, how long did that last? And just what was it that outside of just his physicality, was there anything that was even attractive in terms of the communication that you had with Judge Shaheed? Brenda?
Oh, yes, definitely. another thing that attracted me to David was that when I met his mother, talked a lot about her husband and the family life that they had. And even though I was just a kid at the time, maybe 19, 20 years old, that registered with me because I saw from her talking about her husband and their life. He was deceased by this time. David's husband was deceased, so I never met him. But mother talked so lovingly about the husband that she had and the kind of father that he was, that I sensed that David would be a good husband and a good father. And for me, you know, growing up, a lot of young people had career goals, but my career goal was to be a wife and mother. Mm-hmm. And so when I was able to sense from her, from my mother-in-law, from his mother, that he had grown up with a family intact, with a father, a mother and father that had a very loving relationship. And
yes.
The father was took on his role as maintainer and provider, and mother as the caretaker of the home. That appealed to me. And it appealed to me so much because I came from it, but my parents, even though we were a family of four, me and my sister and mother and father, they weren't really connected in the way that I saw David's parents had been. And I wanted something different. I wanted to have an environment that fit my soul. And that's what I garnered that from her, even though I didn't meet his father.
Yes. So that was really attraction there. So Brenda, that really just caught your attention in terms of the family that he came from. And
yes.
So that really, was that kind of solidifying that this could be the one in your mind?
Well, it was for me, even though, because keep in mind, we were very young. I knew that he wasn't interested in being married, not at that time.
Oh, you knew that.
I say all the time, but wait a minute, I say all the time that we have to convince men. We have to convince the man that you need to get married.
Okay.
I think I've always been pretty aggressive in our relationship.
He told me that. That's my wife, Brenda. Because we actually had mentioned that in the most recent marriage conference here in the STL, your assertiveness. And actually, Brenda, this is something that I've advocated for years on this platform, and I use Lady Khadijah in terms of her assertiveness. History would have been changed had she not been assertive, because Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he didn't seem to have an interest at that time, but she, in her assertiveness, made him notice her and what her desire was. So you may have a point. It may be a short point there, Brenda. Please continue. How long was the courtship, per se? Could you share that with the radio listener?
Yeah, it was actually, I was 19 when we met, and I was 21 when we married.
Mm-hmm.
I was 21 when we married, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But
no arm twisting.
It took a bit, though. But I'm a firm believer that women should not look for a man to choose her, but rather she look more to what qualities she's looking for in a man. But this society, we're taught just the opposite. You know, it's kind of like waiting for the Cinderella story, you know. but I think just the opposite of that. And I certainly know that that's what worked in our situation.
I'm curious to know, Sister Brenda, I'm curious to know, because this is interesting. Let's say that you know the qualities you're looking for. What exactly did you do, or what should a woman do when she sees that to influence him to consider marriage?
Any bait on your hook there, Brenda, as you can share with us? I think it's occurring as one no here.
Well, I think persistence is a part of that.
Okay.
Because we had situations where the relationship could have ended, but because I knew that he had the qualities that I liked and I wanted, I wasn't willing to give up on him. Now, keep in mind, we were quite undeveloped at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But even when I say that, because we were kids.
Yeah.
But there was something, you know, Allah puts in us certain things that we can't really identify at the time. But there was something about him that I knew, even as a young woman, that he had the qualities that felt right to me, even though he didn't know it.
He wasn't
even aware of those qualities.
Right.
He wasn't even looking for them.
You know, Brenda, I, you know what you're saying. I really empathize, understand, and I really feel what you're saying. I have some friends that actually came from the AME, and it's something about those persons that became a foundation for them, and eventually some of them became Muslim. And to have that part of his socialization, I think that you found those things that was attractive to you because of the foundation that he had, you know. So it was more than just a physicality. Now you're trying to really identify who is David Shahid. Brother Imam, Shahid, I want to go back to you. Then I'm going to turn it over to Karan, because I know she has some questions
that she also wants to ask.
Yes, ma'am.
May I add something else?
Yes, ma'am.
One of the attractions that I had to Islam was the family life.
Yes.
Because what I saw, I didn't really understand Islam when I became Muslim.
Okay.
But what I saw was family life. And
mm-hmm.
because I was so searching for the family life that really touched my soul, I was pulled into Islam because of that. So I'm saying family life just carried on and carried me into Islam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think you know what you said about his mother, how that really was impressionable to you, his mother and everything. And you know, it's we've said here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and especially for those who are inspired and aspiring to be married, this is one of the things that if you are a female, a Muslim, a Muslima, and you're looking for a potential husband, you should really want to talk to that potential mate that you're seeking. You should really want to talk to their mother, because a lot of things can be revealed in that, or in terms of who this man really is and how he treats his mother. You know, and the relationship, if there's a bond that's there and all. Judge David Shaheed, I'm going to go back to you one more time, and then we're going to turn it over to Karan. I know she has some questions that she wants to ask. You heard your wife say these things, and these things are not new to you. You actually said to me and also there in St. Louis that your wife was very assertive, and I think that's a good thing because I personally believe there could be more marriages in this community and just in general if we would lose some of the Western idea or concept that the man should be the hunter and the woman should be the game. But obviously her assertiveness played a part in you all getting together. What do you say, Judge?
Well, I really have two answers because I'm two people. You know, I was one person when we met and when we got married, but I'm another person because I've been Muslim and I've been blessed to have a connection with Allah
yes.
and the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Tafsir of Imam Muhammad. So many times I've asked myself if, and I'm saying this primarily for the benefit of the Muslim men in the audience, but one of the things that has become very clear to me, and that is there's no way in my conscious Muslim mind that I would be want to be married to other than a Muslim. I think that needs to be underscored because
yes,
it really hurts me because I have four daughters and actually five when I consider my granddaughter who I raised, and two of them are married to Muslims. One is married to a very good brother who is Christian, but he goes to Juma, you know, with
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, and he fasted Ramadan, and so, you know, twice. And so, you know, I can just give you a couple little examples.
Okay.
We were blessed to make Umrah during the beginning of Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah.
And so that experience, you know, could be a whole two-hour program. But one of the things we came back with, and I had to yield to my wife on this, is, you know, because we have Muslim Pro on our phones, and so it goes off to alert us that prayer is in. And so sometimes, you know, what I would do is once the alert goes off, then I would just make you come and we would make salat. Two things. First is we pray together, all of our prayers. Whenever I'm at home, we pray together, you know.
We always
pray together. But she reminded me when we got back to America from Umrah, why not listen to the whole Adhan, because that's part of the Salat. You know, not just listen, just call the Iqamah. We should, the whole Adhan is part of Salat. And so if we cut it short by just listening to an alert and then go straight to Iqamah, we're really missing part of our Salat. But that's just a gem that comes from having a Muslim wife. And so if you marry somebody that looks nice, maybe very sexy, maybe very attractive, you know, all these other kind of things, but she's not going to make you love your deen, love your religion, love Allah, and get you closer to Allah, you're missing the reward that Allah has for you in becoming Muslim. So to those out there that might, brothers in particular, that might be inclined to go with a sister just because she has other faculties or other attractions, try to find yourself a Muslim wife because they will help you perfect your deen, and that's what we want.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you so much, Judge. I mean, thank you for that insight and wisdom. We really appreciate that. And I'm going to turn this over to my partner, Quran Shakir. I know she has questions and want to say to those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid, and a very honored special guest facilitators, the Honorable Judge David and Brenda Shahid, have joined us on this first episode in the True Love. What is true love? And so the true love recipe, we'll be getting to that in the next hour. So at this time, Quran, it's all yours.
Alhamdulillah. I am so grateful to have both of you on, and thank you so much, because you're sharing a lot of pearls with us just in telling your story. And what I hear from you, one, is not just that you just, even at age 19, Sister Brenda, you just went out and just looked for somebody. You knew what you wanted. And I think that's important. That's one of the things that we do emphasize here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is that the individual should do a self-assessment to know what they want and need in a mate, and then you go out. So I love that. I really love your advice to the women, that women should not look for a man to choose her. Because too many of us have been waiting for 20 and 30 years, waiting on the brother to come find us. So I really love that, because it is about being active and actively seeking. And I think that's wonderful. I appreciate that. So what I hear from both of you, Judge David and Sister Brenda, is this love that you have for one another. But it sounds like a love that was really, really, really developed. And inside of that love is a big give and take that I hear. So you know how to yield to one another. And Judge David, sometimes men aren't so open to take that leadership from a woman or from their wife. So I'm going to you first to say, how did you develop that inside of you to be able to humble yourself, really, to your wife's leadership?
Well, I just thank Allah, because one of the things that happens, again, by having a Muslim wife or a Muslim mate, you know, for the sisters, there might be some attractive brothers, but try and get connected to a Muslim, and same for the brothers, be connected to a sister. Because when you make the prayers, both of you are asking for guidance, not just the brother that's leading the prayer, but both of you are asking for guidance. Now, how arrogant would I be just because I have a role of leadership in my home to believe that I'm the only one that is going to be guided by Allah in our house? That would be an arrogance that is unbelievable. And just as the proof of that is when we make Umrah and also Hajj part of the rituals that we are celebrating is Hagar. And we make the seven circuits between Safa and Marwa. And that's because we are recognizing God's inspiration to Hagar in the desert. So if Allah wants us to remember his inspiration to a woman in our Hajj and our Umrah, isn't that also a sign that we should be willing to recognize that Allah might speak to our wives and inspire them to see something that we don't see?
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Hey, Judge. Judge, also the, during Hajj, in terms of prayer, since you're right there, those who may not have experience making Hajj, the woman can be praying beside you, and she can be praying ahead of you, which is also
absolutely
a sign. You know, yeah. And we have to acknowledge that that Allah has given the honor and the distinction to the woman, the mother, first, to be the first teacher and the first leader. And we say this on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that the honor has been given first and foremost to the mother first, to be our first teacher and our first leader, not only for the baby girls, but also for the baby boys. I got to say that. So,
mm-hmm. Yes.
So brothers, that they have a problem with learning something, go back, because your first teacher was your mother. Your first teacher was your mother, and your first leader was your mother.
The saying of the prophet, paradise is at the foot of the mother.
That's right. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Sister Brenda, I'm curious to know, when you were making your decisions, because I love how you explain it, and I think it's a great model for us to understand and appreciate in our relationships, and I do hope that you speak often with young people about developing and maintaining a relationship, because so many of us think that you need to be in your 20s or your 30s before you get married, in your late 20s and 30s to get married. And I'm often saying what Imam Muhammad said, that we can marry early if we understand, if we teach our children to understand marriage and what they have to bring to the relationship. So I heard you when you said we were just kids, we were young. But at the same time, because of the models, and it's interesting that you talked about the fact that you had an intact family where there was a mother and a father there, but you still wanted something different because you did not see the connection that was needed between the mother and the father in that relationship, and I think that's important. Outside of that, you were defining relationship. So even though you were young, you were still able to know what you needed and wanted in a mate, and that's based on your history, because that's a part of what we also explain to people in courtship, is that you go back and look at your experiences and see what you bring to the table, because the experiences that you had in your childhood and your examples of marriage shape your thinking on that as well. And so with, inside of that, you were defining healthy to you, a healthy relationship. And I think that was a beautiful explanation that you gave. So inside of that definition, now I want to know, how did you take your own experiences, and this is like fast forwarding, and instilling your own children that same understanding of themselves and what they need to get out of marriage?
Question.
Yes. Well, first off, even though David and I grew up in different kinds of, in terms of the parenting, we grew up similarly. And when I say that, is that David and I never had to discuss how to keep a house, how to keep the house clean, how to raise our children. We never argued in front of our children. We had plenty of arguments, but we did privately. We came from the same. I think it's healthy that we're of the same age group. You know, we're the same. So some of the things that I grew up with, he grew up with too. And so we were very similar in that. And our children, as far as our children are concerned, they continue to say, Mommy and Daddy, we're so glad that you raised us the way that you did, because they were insulated a lot. It was a small community here in Indianapolis, but they went to the weekend school. We did things together with the Muslim community. And so when they went off to school, to college, they saw things that they'd never been exposed to because we had this insulated environment that we brought them up in. We never had people coming and going out of our house other than the Muslims. We were very particular in how we raised the children, even, and we didn't have to talk about it. It was kind of automatic. We understood that between the two of us. So we had similar similar ways in which we were raised, is what I'm trying to say. And we pass it on to our children. And so I'm so pleased that with, particularly with one of our daughters and her husband, they make sure that their children go to the weekend school. It's a different weekend school, but they're in a weekend school and they're learning Arabic and they're very comfortable in their Islam. When we became Muslims, you know, we didn't have anybody in our family that were Muslims. Now, as we have three generations of Muslims, and it's very different for our children growing up. When we made Umrah, with three generations this past Ramadan, and that in itself was more than I could have ever imagined. And the teenagers, the two teenagers, one of the daughters, her husband, her two teenage daughters, and David and myself, and those girls are so ingrained in their Islam, they're very comfortable with being Muslim, very comfortable in being Muslim. In fact, one, the 14-year-old, she said, she told her mother that she thinks that she wants to live in a Muslim country because she likes the way it feels in a Muslim country. And you don't have to worry about all the satanic things that are going on that we experience in this country. But yeah, so our girls, you know, I think they learned and they appreciate how they were brought up. Appreciate how they were brought up. And even though, you know, it's just, we just feel very blessed, especially that we have a family, a generation, three generations, and now we got four, actually developing four generations of Muslims. And so because of that, the children are very comfortable, you know, in being Muslim, proud of being Muslim. And I say alhamdulillah for that.
That is alhamdulillah. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. And you are listening to our guest facilitators, Judge David Shaheed and his wife, Sister Brenda Shaheed, who have been married for 53 years. Alhamdulillah, more than half a century of experience they bring to the table. And we invite you, if you're listening online, to join us in the studio by dialing 714-816-4673. And if you're in the studio and you have a question or a comment, push 1 on your phone and we will bring you into the conversation as well. And this is a beautiful conversation that we're talking about. This is true love. This is a great model of true love.
Yes.
Having that seed that grows, alhamdulillah. Mark, it sounds like you were about to ask a question.
Yeah, well, you know, we want to invite our radio listening audience, if you have any questions or you have any comments and what is just you just heard from Judge David and Brenda Shaheed, this would be the time to ask them. But if not, we're going to proceed into the learning lab and get some of their insight in terms of what it is that we do here on the learning lab and some of the insight, some of their wisdom. And, you know, from what it is I've already heard, this triple A, that I gave a homework assignment to those who listened in last week. Let me say this, those who may be tuned in for the first time, this true love recipe, this is something Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, blessed me with years ago in terms of what is true love, you know, true love. And, of course, this word love is thrown around so much, you know, love and it has been denigrated to just sexual relations. And many of our dictionaries that we look in, we'll find that definition. And oftentimes we've heard of people who were looking for love, searching for love, fell in love, all of these things, looking for love in the wrong places and all of this. And praise be to Allah, last week, as Quran gave the highlights in terms of defining true love, she went to the first source that we use here on the Learning Lab, which is Al-Quran. Allah has said in Surah Harum, which is the 30th chapter of the Quran in the 21st verse. And among his signs is this, that I have made for you mates of like nature from among yourselves, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility, and that I will put the love or the affection and the mercy between your hearts. Verily in that are signs for those who reflect. This is a powerful ayat. And as Imam Muhammad has taught us, that ayat means, it's a verse, but it means more than verse. It is an instructing sign that sends a very powerful message in terms of what it is that Allah has done, you see. And as we listen to this dynamic couple, a senior couple that's been married for 53 years, we can see, you understand, that Allah was navigating this relationship all the time, as Judge David Shaheed has said, that Allah was guiding. And this is something very important that the judge said. It can't be underscored. When we make our salat, Imam Muhammad has said that the fifth verse in Al-Fatiha is Indina Sarato Mustaqim. Indina Sarato Mustaqim really means that it makes it a dua. Not only is the Al-Fatiha seven verses of the most often repeated verses, but that fifth ayat is asking for God's guidance. Sirat al-Mustaqim in terms of what? Every aspect of our life. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the sacred institution of marriage is one half of the deen. This is the action part of the deen. This is the action part of the deen. The other part, the Prophet said, and let them be consciously regardful of their Lord. That's the taqwa. So the taqwa is the state of being. We are to always stay God conscious, consciously regardful of God's word, will, and way. So if when we're defining something such as love that is enduring to all of us, it's in the fitra. It's in the original nature. It's in the original nature to want to be love and to give love. This is very important. You see, so we have to try to make wise choices in terms of choosing, because Allah is telling us in the Quran that there's somebody that's special for you, that he has made among his human creation that's for you. And we oftentimes say that's the soulmate. Well, your soulmate actually becomes your teammate, your workmate, your lovemate, your helpmate. And you don't want to incarcerate, them in that regard, because Allah has given to them freedom and rights. And this is a beautiful thing about the Quran, because the Quran is very, very explicit, very, very clear. So we can look, just like we said, as-salam, that is the property of Almighty God, Allah. He's the source of peace. He wants us to have that peace, that tranquility, as it is in the natural creation. He wants us to have that in the relationship. And we agree with our Christian brothers and sisters when they say that Allah is, we don't agree that the way they say that Allah is love, he's the source of love. We cannot define Allah. We can only know Allah indirectly through his attributes, through his natural creation, and through his revelation and what it is that Allah reveals to us. This is why it's called revelation. There's a revealing to us in that regard. And Allah says he will put the love between the love and mercy. This is very important, and that mercy is one of the ingredients. So in Allah blessing me to want to do something from A to Z, this true love recipe, each letter in the English alphabet. I don't use any Islamic terminology, because in listening to our leader and teacher, he said to us, he said, if you have something that's worth saying, put it in a universal language, a universal language where you can take it anywhere and people will be able to ingest it, take it in, digest it, understand it. And Lord bless me to do this. So we're going to start, you know, and all of these ingredients, I have to say, they're organic, they're natural ingredients, no artificial flavors, colors, and all the preservatives are designed to sustain and maintain true love in the sacred institution of marriage. And so our radio listening audience, as you listen to this, I want you to be thinking, as I asked you last week, I want you to be thinking, how would your relationship look if any one of these ingredients was missing in your relationship? And, Karan and I, we want you also to be thinking, this is my love, a true love recipe. You know, just like any recipe, you may put something in that I don't have in. But a recipe becomes important to that person in terms of how they see it. And you will see that many of these qualities, these characteristics, are actually in the Quran. They're in the Quran. And I want to say to our honored special guest facilitators, they, even in their communication information in regards to themselves and all, they actually have mentioned these things. The first one is attentiveness. We call it, I call it AAA, attentiveness. And we heard this in their conversation, and we're going to go to them and get some insight in regards to that. So I want you to be thinking about attentiveness. And then the second of the AAA is appreciative. And then the third is affection. So we ask you, the radio listening audience, we want you to get involved in this. And so, you know, I'm going to maybe say start with you, Sister Brenda, in terms of attentiveness. You know, first and foremost, I want to know if, in fact, this would be in your true love recipe. Could you accept that in terms of attentiveness? And how do you see that, and how insignificant would it be as an ingredient, as a quality in your relationship? You know, oftentimes, especially in the courtship phase, or as you described, once you saw David Shaheed and everything, and when he saw you, I mean, the awareness, attentiveness obviously is there because we want to know more. But some of those things, and even attentiveness, sometimes it begins to wane as after the vows have taken. How important is attentiveness, Brenda Shaheed, in the sacred institution of marriage? And would this be in your true love recipe, if you would, please?
Well, I think attentiveness changes with time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you love someone, the beginning of that love, you know, you have butterflies and you just can't wait to be with them. You know, it just consumes you almost, okay? And then you go through another phase. You're married and you have children, and your attention is more towards raising the children. Your attentiveness is not so much to your spouse as it is in trying to raise those children. And then the final stage, when it's just the two of you again, then it doesn't wane. I don't think attentiveness wanes. I think you gain more attentiveness because now you have time for just the two of you. And so I say to young people all the time that love gets better and better as time goes on. You know, we get frustrated, you know, in our marriages and things don't go exactly the way we want. And sometimes I think, you know, it's too easy to divorce, and people just say, well, I don't have to take this, you know, or let's just end it. But if you're able to just hang in there, you'll find that it does get better. And as the longer you're together, your attentiveness, you gain more attentiveness because you have time to share, just the two of you. The attentiveness really, I think, is more developed and more important later in life than it is in the early parts of the marriage.
Alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent, Sister Brenda, in terms of giving that insight that you have shared our radio listening audience. Okay, Judge Shahid, you heard your wife. Would attentiveness be in your true love recipe, Judge David, first and foremost? And how important and significant is attentiveness?
Well, I think you're really talking about something very important, you know, but as we have learned from Imam Muhammad's tafsir is that things come in stages, you know, they're like three developments. And you can almost say that there are three developments of attentiveness because, like, attentiveness is first kind of linked to an attraction. Because if there's not an attraction, the person is not going to get your attention. You don't, if you're not attracted to somebody, they don't have your attention, so there's nothing really going there. So that's
the
first thing. But then, as my wife was so eloquently put, she's the more eloquent one of the family, she said, you know, that when you're involved with raising a family, she may be concentrating on investing in the children, but as the provider and maintainer of the household, your attention may be consumed making sure that there are resources available to take care of your family, you know, a place to live, you know, provisions, food on a regular basis, you're providing. But then that third stage is a more developed and refined, and that's where it is a learned kind of discipline where you have to make yourself be attentive to the needs of your spouse. Because as we age, things change. Now I ask her about doctor's appointments. She asked me about mine. You know, because, again, it's a more mature and developed kind of attention that we're paying to each other. So it's very different from those first two stages, but it's another stage of attention, attentiveness. But it's still a part of what you show the person that you love and care about.
Alhamdulillah. Well said, Judge David Shaheen. Want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheen. And we have as our honor special guest facilitators tonight, the Honorable Judge David and Brenda Shaheen have joined us tonight, and they've shared already in terms of their sacred institution of marriage for 53 years, and now giving some insight on the AAA, which was started in the alphabet of the true love recipe, and the first quality is attentiveness. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to ask the question, make a comment on some of the things that they may have said, or you may like to share. And also the third thing that we like to use, I like to use here, if what you're hearing is resonating with you, and I'm going to ask the question to our radio listening audience, would attentiveness be a part of your true love recipe? And there's a whole lot of qualities and characteristics that we're going to go, and we're going to be on this for a while in terms from A to Z. You know, some of you probably wonder, what is going to be X, Y, Z? No, we're at the ABC of it. So, we'll get to the X, Y, Z of it. It'll be a while before we get there. But would this be a part of your true love recipe? Yes, true love recipe. So please press 1 if you will, if you got a question or comment or what you're hearing is resonating with you tonight. I know that our honored guests would love to hear from me. If you want to give them the greetings or what, you can do that also. So, Karan Shakir, do we have anybody that raised their hand, or are they just being a sponge tonight, just soaking it all up for now?
They are soaking it all up. I do want to comment.
Yeah, I do
want
you to comment, Karan,
yeah.
Please, if you would. What is, I mean,
yeah.
Would that be in your true love recipe,
yes.
Attentiveness, Karan?
I want to say, you know, Sister Brenda said they didn't have time in the middle part to put their attention on, quote-unquote, attentiveness per se, because their attention was on the children. And then Judge David said that he agreed with her and said that, you know, his attention was on being a good provider and providing safety and comfort in the home. So then what they did was they drove me to the dictionary so that I could look up the word attentive. And actually they were giving attentiveness in that time, because the definition of attentiveness is attending to the comfort or the wishes of others. It is being very polite or courteous. That is attentiveness. And
That's right. So
it's definitely a part of this recipe. And then Sister Brenda said a remarkable thing when she said, sometimes we give up the race while we're still a caterpillar, or we're still in the cocoon, and we don't let the butterfly blossom. Because we quit and go back, you know, to somebody else and start all over again with somebody else, and, or with a defeatist attitude. And you don't really get to come into your full self. That's what I heard when I heard what she said. So that attentiveness then is that the need and the ability to give the time to attend to making sure that that person has what they need. And, you know, we've talked about the 5 love languages before.
Yes.
So to know and understand that person's love language is giving them that attention. So whether that attention is quality time or making sure you're bringing gifts or giving compliments or hugging and giving a physical touch, you know, all of that is attentive. And so and that's what grows the relationship. So I just want to just say to you, yes, I love the 3 phases, because it really does help to define it. And it helps, I think, for those who may struggle and be ready to quit, to know that you might still just be in your cocoon. So don't give up the race. That's what I have to say.
Well, that's a big alhamdulillah, Karan Shakir. It means the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And I concur with all that you said, because this attentiveness in terms of being a part of the true love recipe is the two of them, they produce a family. They produce a family. And Allah has established a role and a responsibility for those two. And he has outlined it in the Quran. This is very, very important. How can you truly, and of course we go back to our honored guests in terms of how they were looking at each other before they actually took their vows, and seeing the judge looking at her in terms of a family member, how she was holding the family member and being attentive and affectionate toward the child. Okay, so we look at that. you look at that. That's being attentive even in that regard. And then fast forward, this would make a great mother, you know, in that regard. And so we ought to see that. And then the judge, you know, whereas he's seeing his role as Al-Rajul Kanamuna Anisa, the Kanamuna, in terms of being the protector and the maintainer for the women, and actually what comes from that in the family relationship in terms of maintaining. Well, mm-hmm. you know, this is true love. You know, we have too many, and I know the judge probably sees some, maybe come through the courtroom, who are not honoring their role, their responsibility. And, of course, when we get to R, you'll see that responsibility is in the true love recipe. How is it that you can say you truly love someone and you really respect someone and you really value them, are we going to be on appreciation next, but you don't support what you have produced? And this is a message to our men that may be listening. You know, there is a big difference. We've stated that here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and also the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. If you're not impotent, you can become a daddy. But a father is a role and a responsibility. So there's no way you can have true love without being attentive. Attentive to what it is that we have to do in performing our role and responsibility in the sacred institution of marriage, because this is part of God's will and plan. We have to see the sacred institution of marriage as part of God's will and plan. Very important. We could say a lot more about that, but we want to go ahead and get some insight from our guest facilitators on the next one. And so I'm going to start with you this time, Judge. I don't want you to think I'm discriminating and giving the first response from your wife first. The second of the triple A that's in this true love recipe is appreciation. This is a very important quality to have, as we know that the appreciativeness should not only be seen in the courtship phase, and we should be able to see that and want to see that, but this is something that if, in fact, in the courtship that we're able to see that there can be a partnership, this appreciation in terms of how you value each other. Judge, would appreciation being your true love recipe, and how would it look if it wasn't there, Judge? Please respond.
Yeah, I think that's so wise, because Surah 55, you know, Ar-Rahman, it says repeatedly, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny?
Yes.
And so that surah is so powerful because it's causing us to reflect on appreciation for the mercies and that Allah has bestowed upon us. And so if you are truly appreciative of Allah, you know, every day you're appreciative of your mate.
Yes.
Because you would, for me, it's very clear, I would not have my mate if it were not for Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So in showing and understanding that I appreciate Allah's gift to me, it also puts me in a frame where I want my wife to know that I appreciate her.
Yes, alhamdulillah. You know, Judge, you said something that is very noteworthy, and I pray a lot that we really take note, the radio listeners, and I know Quran takes great notes. Because Imam Muhammad in teaching us the Al-Fatiha, I have to go back to the Al-Fatiha, where Allah says that the second ayat in Al-Fatiha is, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And so Imam Muhammad explained it. He says, yes, he said, Alhamdulillah, it means that all the praise, he said, but it means all the thanks belongs to Allah. So the thanks is not only praise, but it's even showing that the appreciation for what it is that the two mercies that's in the first ayat, Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim, what it is that Allah has given us in the natural creation and what he has given us in the revelation. This is very important. For to have that type of appreciation, and as you so eloquently articulated in Surah 55, Al-Rahman, which of your favors would you deny? And so if your conscious regard for God's word and he revealing to you what it is that he has done for you, you would be foolish to deny any of those favors. He will be appreciative of all of those favors, including Allah blessing you with a good spouse. So alhamdulillah, you know, in regards to that. So now I'm going to come to you, my dear sister Brenda Shahid. And so first I'd like to know, would appreciation be in your true love recipe? And if it was not, how would that affect your relationship if there wasn't any appreciation? Maybe you started out appreciating each other, but as time went on, you stop appreciating or valuing each other. And so you two have 53 years, so we're getting it from not people that just have opinions or what, but have actually experienced this. Sister Brenda, would appreciation be a part of your true love recipe, and how important is that?
Well, definitely. You know, we have to appreciate each other in order to feel valued. And every person wants to feel valued. And if you don't have that appreciation, you know, what do you have? One of the things that I most appreciate in our relationship is that, you know, we grow differently. You know, just because you're a couple, just because you've been married for 53 years doesn't mean that you're at the same level on everything. Because we're different individuals. And what I appreciate most in my relationship is that I've never felt that I had to do anything. I never felt demand. Demands have never been put on me. You know, you have to do this. You have to do that. You know, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? No, I've never had that. And I think that has allowed our relationship to really blossom, because I know that I have to find my way according to the way I see it. Not the way he sees it, but the way I see it. And he doesn't inflict anything on me. And I think that helps immensely. And I think I mentioned Brother Mark in our last session in St. Louis, I mentioned that the only requirement that my husband ever made on me, when he became Muslim about a year before I actually accepted Islam. And
yes,
he walked in the door and he said to me, Brenda, the only thing that I ask of you is that you don't bring any pork in the house.
Yeah, I remember that. You said that
in
the marriage conference.
Know,
yes, ma'am.
In
you said that.
He has never made another request. No. That doesn't mean that we think the same on everything.
No, I understand.
But
we understand.
He recognizes that I'm an individual just as he's an individual. We come together as a couple, but we're still individuals.
Uh-huh.
And I think that it's very important in relationships that you appreciate appreciate who your mate is, and don't try and make them different from who they are.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this question as a follow-up question, because this is very, very important, that if you can't respect them in terms of who they are, then maybe you might not have the right person.
I think
if you can't
right.
value them, if you can't appreciate them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's very important. You have to have appreciation in a relationship in order for it to flourish.
Absolutely.
You may start off for a small period of time. But if to have a lasting relationship, mm-hmm. that mate has to feel valued.
That they're important, that you value them. I agree with you 100%, Sister Brenda. That is, and you know, with time, would you also say, I mean, you two have 53 years of experience in this sacred institution, that only increases, would you say, Sister Brenda?
Definitely. I would definitely say it increases. That's just like on the first one on attentiveness.
Yes.
All of it increases.
Increases.
All of it increases with
mm-hmm.
time, if you're with the right mate, yeah.
With, okay, with the right mate. So, alhamdulillah. So, pay attention, radio listeners, take notes. You're getting it from a very experienced couple here who have 53 years under their belt in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. So, Quran Shack here, we want to say, radio listening audience, we want you to be involved in this, so I'm asking you to press 1 before I take my survey, but we're going to hear from Quran Shack here first, because I know she has something to say in terms of appreciativeness, and we want to hear from you. So, Quran, in the AAA, appreciation, would this be a part of your true love recipe? And if it was not, how would that really, truly be a true love without being appreciative?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I love that Judge Shaheed went straight to Quran and picked out Surah 55, where repeatedly, I think it's 31 or 33 times Allah asked, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? In one surah, He did this over and over again to remind us that there are so many favors poured on us, so many opportunities to celebrate the beauty that Allah has given us. And so we use that model then in our own lives, because Allah models for us expectations. And so He expects us then to be those ready to show appreciation. And in Surah 14, Ayat 7, we've talked about it before, Allah says, if you are grateful, I will give you more. So all of those looking for wonders in their relationship is a simple little formula here. Be grateful. Show appreciation. And how do we show appreciation? We show appreciation by listening. That's a way to appreciate somebody. So just listen to them and give them honest feedback. That's appreciation. Appreciation is also shown when we can celebrate with the person. I see you, as Sister Brenda said, to be valued. I see you and I like what I see. To express that to somebody is showing appreciation. To give them space, as she said, she was given the space to blossom. Because she said that we grow differently, she said. And to be able to have that freedom to grow in your own right is appreciation of what Allah has put in you. And if we do that not only in a marriage, but in our relationships with our children, in our relationships with friends, if we give people space to be themselves where they don't have to fear, you know, what they say and what they do is going to be judged, then that is a wonderful gift and mercy. That's a rahmah, a love, truly, that we're giving to somebody to allow them to be able to blossom in their own right and to celebrate them for who they are and what Allah has given them. And so to be appreciated for who you are, for what you do, and what you achieve inside of something, all of that is a gift. And if you do that gratefulness, Allah will give you more. That's His promise. And the promise of Allah is true. So I just want to remind our listening audience, you've been soaking in like a sponge, and we love that. But we do welcome your comments and your questions of our guests. If you want to join the conversation, push 1 on your phone, and we will gladly bring you into the conversation.
So, alhamdulillah, and Grant, I might need your help to help remind me to bring that little bell, because in your commentary, you actually mentioned one of the qualities in the true love recipe. When we get to L, listening, listening is a part of the true love recipe. So I don't have the bell this week, but inshallah, I'm going to find a bell at the dollar store somewhere around here in the STL. So we can ring that bell. I think at this time, before we go to AAA and we asked our guest in terms of the affection in regards to the commentary on that, I want to do my little survey at this particular point in time. Now, I do need your participation, radio listening audience, and you don't have to say anything if you don't. But some of you listening in, you know I'm going to ask you. Okay, so what is it that you've heard tonight, from our special guest facilitators tonight, Judge David and Brenda Shahid? Has any of these things resonated with you tonight? Has any of these things resonated with you tonight? Now, all I would ask you to do, if it has, I'm going to ask you to press 1 and hold it for 10 seconds. Anything that you heard tonight resonated with you. You may have learned something or what. And, I'm up to 5 at this point. And I'm up to 10 at this point. Now, you can express that in a general way. You don't have to be specific. If you're shy in terms of speaking, you can just express it in a general way. There's much that I've heard. You're appreciative of it. You understand what you've heard. It resonated with you. Or you can be more specific in terms of what it is that you've heard thus far, and you would like to elaborate a little bit on what it is that you've heard specifically that has resonated with you tonight. So, those of you that would like to at least express that, we would love to hear from you, and I'm sure that our special guest facilitators would love to hear from you too. Stay in the queue at this time. So, Quran, did we get any participation?
We did, alhamdulillah. We are going to go to 650-669. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
You're live on the
669.
Take
yourself
off. Alaykum. Alaykum. Who are you and where you from? That voice sounds familiar to me.
This is Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri. First, let me just say assalamu alaikum to your guests. Nice to hear from you again from being in St. Louis recently. And it's been an outstanding program. As you begin to talk about how to prepare and how to be and how to fall and how to be in love, well, they gave such a perfect example. Number one, I didn't ask nothing of her other than be herself. Okay, I didn't try to change anything about her. I didn't try to do any of those particular things. I knew that vibration. I knew right then and there, like she said, I knew he was it. And she knew, evidently, he knew she was it. So they let that be. So that vibrational communication was already there naturally. And the communication was already there naturally. They probably didn't have to say anything to each other. They just did what they did. But the thing that got me more than anything else, they came from similar backgrounds.
Yeah.
That similar background piece made it easy.
Come on now.
So it truly, truly resonated with me. I just wanted to say something. I couldn't sit here and not say anything. And once again, assalamu alaikum, my brothers and sisters, Dr. Shahid, and I just look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you so much, Rashid Salam, for calling in and sharing what resonated with you. And we appreciate listeners like Rashid Salam. And he's also one of our very distinguished, esteemed hosts here on IWDM Radio each and every Tuesday. He hosts, along with instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab here each and every Tuesday. So thank you for calling in and sharing that with our special guest facilitators. Did you want to respond, either one of you? Or if not, then we'll see if we have any other callers in the queue that want to have something to say.
We're just glad to hear from the brother. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right. So, Karan,
right.
any more?
Welcome. Yes, we're going to welcome 770-465. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
You're alive. Take yourself off of mute. Give that number again, 770 what, Karan?
465.
Your mic is open. Perhaps they stepped away.
All right, we will go then to 314-337. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
People like that haven't spoken to him in years, and someone gave a donated him a telephone. He's been calling his sisters and his daughters and his sons.
Oh, boy.
And all those people have been answering the phone. And they've been
so I think they must have stepped away and got something else going on there. 314.
All right. Then we can go back to our program because we did have several people that raised their hands. And these
okay.
are the ones who kept their hands up.
They wanted to say something. Okay, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, fine. So, in the AAA, and I think that I gave the last first response to Judge David Shaheen. So this one will be yours, Sister Brenda. In the AAA, we have affection. We have affection. So would this be in your true love recipe? And if it was not, would it truly be a true love recipe if you didn't have affection? How important, how significant is affection to be in the true love recipe for Brenda Shaheed? Sister Brenda?
Yes, affection is important. And I think affection, we're looking at the three different categories that we talked about earlier. And that is the type of affection you have when you're just beginning your relationship, the affection you have with when you have the children, and then the affection when it's just the two of you later in life. But affection shows up in different forms. You know, it can be a smile, it can be a touch, it can be laughter.
Mm.
It can be preparing a special meal for the person, your spouse, taking them to a special restaurant, just sitting and listening to your spouse. All those things are forms of affection because they're showing that you care about them. You care and you want them to be happy. So affection has to be a part of your relationship. You can't have a relationship, much of a relationship without affection.
Alhamdulillah. You know, Sister Brenda, I sure wish I had that bell because in your commentary, you stated three of the natural, organic ingredients in true love. One was laughter. In L, laughter is one of the, and I want to go to the Quran in regards to that just to show you that Allah has blessed me to base most of this on the Quran. I believe you'll find it in Surah 53, Ayat 43 of the Quran. It's a very short ayat where Allah says that He has bestowed laughter and tears on the human being. Laughter and tears. And, you know, I thought about that for some time, that those few words, you know, Allah can say much with very few words. And so looking at what the Imam has said, that every ayat is not just a verse, but it's a sign. It's an instructing sign with a message in it. So Allah has said that he has bestowed laughter and tears on the human being. Just think about the emotions that we have as a human being. You know, emotions, there's a duality when we talk about emotions. There's positive emotions, there are negative emotions. And so not giving us an outlet, for expressing those emotions, how would that look? This is a mercy from Allah to give us laughter and tears. I'm quite sure you two have been able to laugh at each other, laugh together, and even laugh at yourself, you know. And even in the study, in terms of laughter, now they're finding how important it's an antidote, you know, for those who are in a depressed state or even hospitalized, in terms of the importance of laughter. But this is something that's revealed in the Quran. Go to it, take note, 5343. I'm almost sure that that's where you're going to find it. And it's those few words that form that one ayat that Allah has bestowed, that this is a mercy that Allah has given to us as an outlet to be able to express our emotions. So in my true love recipe, when we get to L, you're going to find laughter there. You also stated fun. Fun. So in the true love recipe, in F, fun. It's simply fun. You have fun in your relationship. Very, 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 very important to have fun in your relationship. Sometimes people just think that, oh, it's just, it becomes dull and drab and, you know, hum-ho or what. No, but to have fun. How would it be to have a true love recipe and no fun is in it? You know, so alhamdulillah. And I can't remember the other one, I guess, because as I get older, my memory is not as good. But it was a third one, and maybe, inshallah, it'll come back to me that you actually stated. And that's why I got to get this bell so, you know, I can ring the bell every time that
yeah,
one is said.
She mentioned that you should smile and you listen and you have laughter and that you show that you care and you want the other person to be happy.
Oh, care. That's it. That's it. That's
yes.
it. Thank you, Quran. Care, C-A-R-E. We're going to be talking about the Fabulous Four, and that is care. When we get to C, we won't get to it tonight because we got to go through B. But C in the true in my true love recipe is care, and we've given an acronym for care in terms of it being having compassion. Of course, appreciation that we've talked about. The R stands for respect, and the E means experience or evident. It should be experienced and it should be evident in the courtship phase that this person really cares for you and vice versa. And that care should extend from the courtship if, in fact, as you see, that there can be a partnership, that care should prevail in there and it should even increase in terms of care. So those three, Brenda, in your commentary, you stated three that's in the true love recipe. So we want to go to you, Judge, in terms of affection. Would that be in your true love recipe, Judge Shaheed? And how would a relationship look if there was no affection, Judge? Talk to us.
Well, Brother Mark and Sister Shakir, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to just make this comment on behalf of both of us before we have to depart because something else that came along. But if I could just go to the one you mentioned, you weren't focusing on it, but respect. Because I think that's part of your true love recipe. And I want to say that in the context of this weekend, this weekend is, you know, Memorial Day weekend. And so it is kind of tradition this weekend to visit our loved ones that have passed on. And so my wife and I do that. Her parents are in Evansville, and a couple of days ago we went and paid respect to my parents who are here in Indianapolis. And then next week we're going to drive to Evansville to show respect for her parents, you know. In the best tradition of our prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that one of the last things that Prophet Muhammad did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even as he was ill, was to visit the cemetery of the martyrs at Uhud. So that is a tradition we should also incorporate into our family life, and that is we want to show respect for our parents while they're alive, but we also want to make prayers for them even after they have gone on, because the prayer of a righteous child is always received for the benefit of their parents. And so we want to thank you for this experience. And unfortunately, we're going to have to.
No, it's okay, Judge and Brenda, Karan, and we appreciate the time that you have given to us this evening in sharing with us in terms of your marriage of 53 years. I know that it's inspirational and motivation to us and to our radio listening audience, and the insight and wisdom that you and Brenda Shaheed have shared with us in this true love recipe. So we do thank you so very much, and we don't want this to be your last time here on Courtship and Marriage. We want, because we'll be doing this here for a while, and so inshallah, maybe we can get you back at another time and all, but we thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you with many, many, many more years with a healthy, harmonious relationship. And because you and Brenda, you all are examples for the whole community, and especially when we look at how marriage has been denigrated and a lot of marriages just don't seem to work. But hearing from you two, it becomes very inspirational and very motivational to all of us in our radio listeners. So thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you, and thank you for the time that you've given to us.
Thank you so much for having us, and we commend you on the work that you're doing, because this is very important. So may Allah continue to bless you and to continue the work.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Yes, so I want to say to our radio listening audience, I didn't know exactly how much time we'd be given, but we only a few minutes from the top of the hour, but we really do thank the Honorable Judge and also Brenda Shaheed for sharing with us their life experience, how they came together and how Allah blessed them. And, you know, Quran, you know, as we listen to them, as the judge was saying, they never left Allah out of the picture. This is, I think, is so very important, you know, in terms of what they said, because the foundation was right in terms of acknowledging that Allah is the one that helps us in terms of navigating in this life. And I think one of the things that have to be said, Quran, and get your commentary on this, that your heart have to be right. You have to have pure intentions and motivation and desire to want to live this deen as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have us to live this deen. And mm-hmm. if, in fact, that your heart is right, Allah will help in terms of assisting you in navigating the type of life that you want as a Muslim or as a mu'min, as a believer. Quran, what do you have to say?
Yes, I'm going to make my comments quick because we've got a couple of listeners who switch one on their phone.
Oh, they press one.
Yes, okay. Most definitely. We are at the top of the hour. And I do just want to comment on what they said about this thing of affection. And, you know, earlier you mentioned Surah 30, Ayat 21, where Allah says that he created from you, from yourselves, the mate, that you may dwell with them in tranquility, and that he placed between you affection and mercy. So Allah
yes.
tells us in Surah 30, 21, that he has given us this affection. He's made us social beings, and we need affection and love to thrive, to be whole beings. And so within the fold of Islam, the Quran encourages us to find a companion and a spouse who can in turn help us understand the importance and the joy in sharing affection and mercy between the two. And then in 1996, Allah says, indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, he will appoint for them affection. So again, Allah gives us this affection. And then my final comment is coming from Zayd, who was, as you know, one of the Sahabas of the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Oh, yes.
And Zayd said, when a husband and wife look at each other lovingly, Allah will look at them with his merciful eye. And when they hold hands, which is affection, he said their sins will fall away from between their fingers. So his affection is a way for us to purify ourselves too. Like zakat is a purification. Affection with your mate is a purification. Now I'm going to pause and go to our listening audience.
Thank you, Karan. I love it.
Alhamdulillah. 770-465. You're on the air. We had you earlier. Go ahead. State your name and where you're calling from. Okay. They had put their hand down and raised it again. We're going to go to 423-803. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. 423-803.
Take yourself off of mute. You may be on mute. We can't hear you. Okay. Boy, it's a little strange. We usually don't get too many calls that don't speak.
Right.
Yes. So you're actually live on IWDM Radio, and we'd love to hear whatever comment or question that you may have. Even though I am honored special guest facilitators have left, we have a few minutes, as Karan said, and we'd love to hear from you. So if anything resonated tonight with you in these last few minutes, then please press 1 and express that. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, you've listened in. I know I have enjoyed it and all of some excellent commentary. So we'd love to hear from you. Press 1. Don't be shy. This is a family affair here. Press 1 and share with us, please. All right. Okay. All right.
Well,
so
we're at the top of the hour.
We're at the top of the hour here, so Karan, I'm going to give you an opportunity for any closing remarks. And, of course, we always like to hear from IWDM listenership. And so this is not the only avenue that they can communicate with us. And so please, let them know how they can communicate with us on the other things that have been set up for that communication. And before go ahead, Karan, do that, and then I will say what our homework assignment is for next week on the True Love Recipe.
All right. Well, I just want to do as I always do. Thank you and thank our listening audience for joining us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We're grateful to have you as our host. And we're really grateful to our listening audience for the contributions that you bring to the platform. Your energy is felt, and we are especially grateful to those that push one to to join the conversation, and to all of you, we know that you could have been doing other things, but you chose to spend this time with us, and so we're truly grateful. And we also invite you that you can join us on our social media. We are Bring It to the Lab. So I invite you to go to our page on Facebook or on Instagram, like our posts, make comments on our posts. That helps build the algorithm there. And if you have any questions, comments, or recommendations for us, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And we are looking forward to hearing from you. So back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I also want to thank our radio listening audience, because without you, there would not be an IWDM Blog Talk Radio. And special thanks to Quran Shakir always for your insight and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday night. Special thanks for our honored special guest facilitators, the Honorable Judge David and Brenda Shaheed, for joining us tonight and sharing with us in regards to their 53 years of marriage and also the insight and wisdom that they gave to the 888 as we start out this true love recipe. Want to say to our radio listening audience, we want you to be involved with this this learning lab. And the homework assignment for next week, we're going to be looking at B3 in the True Love Recipe. And B3 consists of the basic things, not the big things, but the basic things that we can do, because we said love is an action word. So we expect to hear from you in terms of basic things that you can do and how would it look if we didn't have those basic things in the True Love Recipe. And then B2, and that would be boundaries. Should there be boundaries in the sacred institution of marriage in the True Love Recipe? You know, are there boundaries? So we want you to look at that. We want you to think about that. And we want to hear from you in regards to that. And then the B3, it is bonding. In terms of bonding in True Love Recipe, should there be bonding in that in your True Love Recipe? And how would it look if there was no bonding in that? So those three qualities, characteristics, those will be what it will be next week, inshallah, God willing, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So please give some thought to this. You know, talk it over if you're married with your mate. See how they would respond to this. I don't know if you have to do any research, but Quran and I would love to hear from you as we continue with the True Love Recipe. Want to say that the beat goes on here each and every day of the week except for Saturday, and soon something will be happening that. Stay tuned for that. But tomorrow is Salatul Jumma Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized can't get out and about. We ask that you come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, in Indianapolis there for Salatul Jumma. It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday is the longest running production that we have, Words Make People, once again with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that's each and every Sunday afternoon starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People, this Sunday afternoon. And the latest production that we have is my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a production called ABC, like 1, 2, 3. It is Al-Islam-based conversation. So this is a new production. Many haven't heard about it, but please tune in. It happens each and every Monday evening starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, Al-Islam-based conversation. with Imam Nazim Pasha. And Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. You just heard him a little while ago calling into the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. He hosts a dynamic production along with instructor Abdul Shahid, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, where you've got to bring a notebook, a lot of great terminology to learn about the science of yourself and also your health. That happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salam. And Wednesday, it is the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that happens each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And your host on that is our very distinguished Dr. Patricia Slaudine and yours truly, Mark Shahid. That's each and every Wednesday. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And yours truly, Mark Shahid, hosts that, as I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. It happens each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed hosts, Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid, on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we will be continuing the True Love Recipe next week. We invite you to come back. Don't come back by yourself. Bring a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member. And it happens each and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Last but not least, make sure that you keep your subscription with the Muslim Journal. And if you have the wherewithal to make it as a gift for a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal, that would be a great blessing to you. So we want to say to you, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you. A happy Memorial Day to all of you that listen in. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.